This is an ABC podcast.
You and me have spoken a lot about COVID over the last 4 years. We had a whole podcast about it. And one of the things that came out relatively quickly after the beginning of the pandemic was this sense that a lot of people didn't just bounce back after they were infected by coronavirus. They developed something that we've kind of now sort of colloquially call long COVID. There's a group of researchers who have sort of come out in the last day or two saying that they think it's time to move past this term long COVID because they say it's basically indistinguishable from other post-viral syndromes a year after infection.
Yes, this was an embargoed press release that came out a couple of days ago from a infectious disease conference in Spain. And what they were quoting was research from Queensland Health, where they claim to have looked at compared people with COVID PCRs, positive PCRs to influenza and followed them through. They started off with 19,000 people, I think ended up with 3,000 or 4,000 people that they followed through for 12 weeks and claimed there was no difference between the two groups, and claiming that basically what's all this fuss about COVID, it's no worse than flu, which goes along a little bit with Queensland. They've now for some time, I suppose you could say, minimised the effect of COVID. There was a period where Queensland health authorities were saying we should open up Queensland and just let everybody become infected. So there is a bit of a track record here. And just to give you perspective of what's going on here, let's assume for a moment that their assumption in this paper is right, that there is no difference effectively between the long-term effects of an influenza infection to a COVID-19 infection. Even if that's true, the dimensions of SARS-CoV-2 in terms of the number of infections in Australia and the proportion of people who actually get persistent symptoms, COVID has an enormous public health impact compared to influenza. Even if comparing one person to another, there is no difference between the two, which is what the assertion is in this research, which is that there's no difference between the two. But in a public health and population impacts sense, COVID is vastly more toxic than flu simply because of numbers. But then there was a study published in Lancet Infectious Diseases towards the end of last year. Compared to about 3,000 people, they had 81,000 people, where it wasn't a selected population. It was studying the medical records of many, many thousands of people and showing that there was no equivalence really between COVID and flu. COVID was much worse. So comparing COVID with flu, COVID was more toxic, you were more likely to die, you were more likely to be in hospital, you were more likely to have long-term effects than flu. So COVID was worse than flu. And that was in a vaccinated period, the same as this was in a vaccinated period. So you're comparing, you know, this was in an Omicron world. So I think that even if you accept the premise of this paper, on a numbers game, COVID is much worse. And if you accept the data based on a much larger, less selective study, I mean, the patients were less selected, it was more population-based, COVID, long COVID symptoms are in fact worse. And also the Queensland study contradicted the Victorian study that you and I covered last year, which is a much more population-based survey in Victoria, which showed really quite high levels of long COVID symptoms in the community.
So what are the implications of this train of thought, though, of kind of going, well, it's sort of not indistinguishable from other illnesses? Like, I know that for people who have long COVID, it's incredibly isolating and incredibly hard. But then there's also a big group of people who have syndromes that very much like long COVID, other perhaps post-viral syndromes, things like myalgic encephalitis, chronic fatigue syndrome, that kind of wish that they could have the attention that long COVID sufferers have had. Is putting them all together kind of a good thing or a bad thing when it comes to actually helping patients?
Well, what would be a good thing in a sense, but it's wishful thinking, is that it's exactly the same syndrome as, say, myalgic encephalomyelitis. And there are lots of similarities, and there may well be fundamental similarities at a biological level. So in a sense, long COVID or persistent symptoms after an acute COVID infection does help people with myalgic encephalomyelitis because there's lots of research going on into finding out what's going on. And the hope is that it's applicable to chronic fatigue syndrome, myalgic encephalomyelitis. So I think in a sense, people are going to be helped by that. The thing is also, you've got very large numbers of people who've got persistent symptoms after COVID-19, therefore more accessible to study. You're right, people do feel a bit left behind who've got myalgic encephalomyelitis, but hopefully there are solutions that are found or reasons found which are applicable across the board. Not all myalgic encephalomyelitis.
It's such a mouthful, I got it wrong before as well.
Let's call it coronary fatigue syndrome. Not all people with that have a clear line to a viral infection. Lots of viral infections produce fatigue over an extended period of time and you feel the viral symptoms coming back. But chronic fatigue syndrome is very different from that. And it's also, those post-viral syndromes are also very different from persistent SARS-CoV-2 symptoms, which are much more likely to be multi-system, affecting different parts of your body, your brain, your lungs, etc. Whereas it looks as though post-flu, a lot of it is actually lung effects rather than others. So there are differences. It's an incredibly complicated area and lots of desperate people with all these conditions who need help.
Yeah. Is there any sense that this particular paper out of Queensland is going to change policy, or is it sort of just in the mix at the moment?
These data have been out for a while and I'm not sure it's changed things much, but there is a tendency both at the federal level and at state level to try and normalise COVID-19 in the sense that it is just like the flu. It's never been like the flu.